Listening to the Cannabis Hangout, two girls, one bowl, and a podcast that is breaking the stigma of marijuana. My name is Brannon.
And my name is Saba. We will be connecting with a community of cannabis enthusiasts by educating people,
sharing stories from medical marijuana patients,
and interviewing industry leaders while debunking cannabis myths.
So we invite you to come roll with us
while we break it all down.
Hi, friends. Welcome back to another episode. My name is Brannon.
And I'm Saba.
And we are your hosts of the Cannabis Hangout. On today's episode, we have the pleasure of speaking with Dr. Eric Bowen, who is a pharmacist that believes in cannabis medicine. His goals are to see cannabis talked about as a healing option more in the medical-minded community. So that's why he's here today, and we're happy to have him. So please welcome Dr. Bowen to the Cannabis Hangout.
Hi, Dr. Bowen. Thank you so much for being here with us today.
Hey, thank you guys for having me on. You can just call me Eric. That's fine.
Wonderful. Thank you. So we like to start everyone with this question, but can you tell us when you first consumed cannabis, and are you a medical marijuana patient here in Oklahoma?
I am, yes. I'm probably a little bit different than some of your other guests. I mean, I've listened to a lot of you guys' other podcasts and stuff, but I never really got experience with cannabis until I was 52 years old, and the reason I got experience with it is multiple reasons, because I deal with some chronic issues from that I've dealt with for quite a number of years from my job, and also I have a little bit of anxiety and stuff too, so I found I was on a whole lot of different medications, and they didn't just make me, they made me feel a lot more sluggish than I wanted to feel. So I was able to, you know, start using cannabis once it, you know, became legal here. And I think I got my card in 2019, and, you know, I've been able to get off of a lot of different medicines and stuff because of cannabis. And I feel a lot more clear minded and stuff. And, you know, my quality of life, I think, is so much better. And,
It's just so,
you know, once I figured out it helped me, you know, I decided, you know, I needed to kind of pursue that to be able to, you know, help other people as well. And, you know, because a lot of pharmacists, we don't have much knowledge about CBD or cannabis, either one. That's really something they don't teach in medical school,
right,
or pharmacy school, any of that hardly at all. So I think about only like 10% of the schools in the United States even teach anything about the endocannabinoid system. So,
I think it's a different perspective from you as well, being the age you are, because most people who we talk to have their cannabis journey began at a very young age. But this just is to say that, like, the diverse, like, market there is. There's everybody some way, somehow, you know, at whatever age you are, is wanting to have a piece of the cannabis cake.
Oh, I agree. And it's so versatile. You know, it can be used in, you know, young patients for, you know, epilepsy and autistic disorders and stuff. And, you know, older people, it can be used for pain and stuff, and, you know, it helps them decrease their meds. So I think it's great. You know, I've learned so much by, there's a lot of medical organizations and stuff out there that are also into, like, teaching about cannabis as a medicine. So I'm in Society of Cannabis Clinicians and International Society of Cannabis Pharmacists, and I've learned so much from many people who've, you know, been in this space a lot longer than I have.
That's awesome.
Great.
So would you say, like, being a patient in Oklahoma, it's amazing, but sometimes it can be overwhelming. What has your journey been like finding out what works for you and what doesn't?
Well, that's a good question. Because at first, you know, I didn't feel like I had a very good knowledge base, and I wasn't really sure where to get it from.
Right.
I think, you know, I've heard some of your your podcast and stuff, you know, it kind of talks about, you know, since the industry's in kind of new in Oklahoma and stuff, we're all kind of learning together and stuff, but there's, you know, there's different quality of education you get from different dispensaries, as I'm sure you guys have also experienced.
Yes, so, absolutely.
I kind of had to work a little bit about dosing and stuff, because, you know, I didn't really know what dose I was supposed to take and stuff. And I greened out once or twice on edibles and decided that I needed to learn a little bit better about, you know, how to manage the effects, because that's something I didn't, you know, nobody enjoys. So
right.
I tried to, you know, figure out from my own self, you know, what my dosage range is and what strains and what types of products work best for me. So it was a little bit of trial and error, but, you know, I've heard of you guys talk about, you know, some of you, you know, the differences in dosing for each of the two of you. And I'm more like Brandon. I'm on the lower end. I'm a like 5-7.5 milligram kind of.
Yeah, that sweet spot.
Yeah, so, I mean, like bigger doses and stuff, but they really just make me really tired. So I can't have that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I use edibles, and then I'll use, you know, like I said, I had some, you know, some pain issues and some anxiety issues. So I'll use some strains like Lemon Haze, Lemon Kush, and Blue Dream during the day. You know, because I don't want to feel, you know, over sedated or anything. And I'm going to also say that I don't do this at work. I'm just making sure your audience knows that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do that.
Do you have a cannabis routine you like to abide by, or certain rituals throughout your day that you find really therapeutic?
Yeah, that's kind of interesting that you say that, because I'm kind of at that point in my journey right now. You know, I get up and kind of assess, you know, in the morning where I'm at, and depending upon, you know, how I'm feeling, what I need to get accomplished that day. You know, I have a whole slew of different things I can choose from. I could just use anything from, you know, just plain CBD to a, you know, like a 1-to-1, or you know, THC flower,
yeah,
or edible. Kind of depends.
Do you have any brands that you like that are kind of like a staple to you?
I'm sorry, any what?
Any brands? Like, what brands do you buy that are like staples to you? What do you enjoy?
Oh, okay, yeah, that's a good question. I enjoy Nature's Tea has a lot of good stuff as
yes,
far as
they
their,
do.
Their line. And I've actually been out and talked to Nathan and Joe out there, because at one point I was thinking about opening a dispensary, and I kind of like some of their products they have out there. And,
yes, Nature Tea does it right.
That they do, and I was really, really impressed with their operations. That they gave me the tour, and I got to talk to each of them, and it was really awesome. And another thing I like is I think they're called Edify candy bars.
I think they're, I've heard. Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about. I've heard of those.
Yeah, and they come in. I think they come in like the 200 milligram bars, the ones that I buy, and they're like they're 10-20 milligram pieces, and it's easy to kind of split them up, you know, into more like doses that I need, you know, smaller doses. So. I really like those, you know, the fact that they're, you know, in a fat-based vehicle kind of makes it easier and better for it to be absorbed, work better for me. So I tend to go with the chocolate type stuff more often.
That's cool.
That's interesting. I hate chocolate things, so it's always, I always love to hear what people, my first cannabis, like bad one, my first bad cannabis experience with edibles, which was also my first experience with edibles, had to do with brownies. And so brownies, unless they're fresh out of the oven, like I don't like brownies, because that I still taste it, that cannabis taste, without it even being there. So chocolate's very similar for me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's always interesting to see how everyone's bodies and preferences are so different. I always love to hear it.
Yeah, it kind of is, you know. And, you know, each of us is kind of unique and have, you know, what's called our own endocannabinoid tone, you know. So that's why some people, you know, need more, you know, than other people do and stuff. And, you know, differences in metabolism and stuff also.
Yeah. So are you open about your consumption with like your immediate family, or like what does that look for you? Like the transparency?
Yes, with my immediate family, and I'm really pretty open about it, mostly in general. I found that as somebody in healthcare, if I can't, you know, kind of get out and make an education, you know, educate people about it and stuff, then you know, maybe that's something I need to do, you know, because a lot of times, you know, the people that have bad feelings about it it's usually from, you know, the stigma from, you know, the war on drugs and stuff. And surprisingly, some of the patients or people that I've had the easiest time talking about it to are actually people from church.
Okay.
Which you wouldn't think, but, you know, because you already have a relationship established.
Right.
You know, to talk to them about it. So, you know, and I've been able to, I'm not going to say I'm not 100%, 180 degree changed their mind on the subject, but, you know, kind of allowed them to look at it more than, you know, for so long it's been considered a drug of abuse. And, you know, there's so many different diseases that it can be employed in that it's just amazing that we haven't in such a long time up until now, you know. In the up until like the mid-30s, you know, cannabis was in a lot of prescription medication, you know, that they dispensed in pharmacies. So it's kind of come full circle again a little bit, you know, and for a long time pharmacists didn't know anything about it. But I think it's best that, you know, we don't overlook this important system in our bodies that, you know, can kind of help fine tweak every other system.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. That was very well said.
Setting up a new company can be difficult and confusing, but establishing a strong foundation with appropriate and necessary documents can help protect you in the long run.
Yes, and with being business owners or self-sob, we understand what it's like pretty well, I think.
With BIC Legal, they practice in areas like family law, estate planning, business litigation, and review and draft contracts for your company, while assisting in licensing applications, and so much more.
And with the Oklahoma cannabis industry thriving, the rules and regulations related to cannabis are quite strict. Jade Pebworth with BIC Legal, she really enjoys working with companies from the ground up. So if you're looking for good legal help in Oklahoma, she's your girl. Let's get back to today's episode.
So as a pharmacist, what's your background look like, and what was the turning point for you to dig deeper with cannabis and what it can really do for our bodies?
Well, my own experience had to do with, you know, like I said, the chronic pain stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was on so many different meds and I felt horrible. And I probably had it not ever become legal in Oklahoma. I don't know that I would have ever tried it, but, you know, I tried to, you know, broaden my horizon, try something different. And,
yeah.
You know, frankly, amazed at how well it worked for me. And I didn't get what the big deal was about, you know, the big no-no thing that, you know, kind of a lot of people in the medical field associate, you know, with cannabis. So, you know, just, and another thing is, I think what really solidified my stance on, you know, cannabis and plant-based medicines in general was, as a pharmacist, you know, we dispense, you know, I've been in pharmacy for over 30 years, and we dispense tons of opioids, and I've gotten to see firsthand, you know, a lot of the destruction that has happened in, you know, colleagues and patients' lives and, you know, friends' lives and stuff. And, you know, there's just got to be better ways that we can go about treating stuff. And I think it's one of the answers to that.
Yes. Yeah, that is good. So with all the knowledge that you do have in the pharmacy world, was researching the benefits of cannabis just completely different for you to be kind of drawn towards and to learn about? Because I know, like you said, growing up or like learning as like in, you know, pharmacy school and like med school and all that, like this is definitely not in there, you know, and so that it gives you a whole different mind. So how did you like, you know, kind of balance or like drift off to being attracted to learn more about cannabis?
just from a lot of the benefits I saw in myself and a lot of the benefits that I have seen in other people and their stories. I follow, you know, a lot of different people on LinkedIn and Instagram and stuff like that who have very compelling, you know, stories, you know, where like it's helped with anything from like, you know, brain trauma or, you know, chronic substance abuse issues, fibromyalgia, you know, a lot of the physicians that are in the space that I know are in it because maybe they've had a relative or somebody who was either autistic or epileptic and they weren't getting the help they needed. So they dove into it themselves. And now they educate other physicians on some of that type of stuff. So, it's really just amazing how versatile the plant can be and how many different types of people it can help.
Right.
Absolutely. So with that, I know just because I've done with, you know, working on the dispensary side and doing my own research, the internet was a great place, but it was also my kind of a dreaded place because it's the information's always so varying and there's so much and it's so overwhelming. So to, you know, tackle what you have and do what you do, and we'll get into your company in a little bit, but what's the learning process been like? I mean, a little bit past your journey, like to dive in deeper into how it can help different ailments. What's that process look like? Like, have you gone through books, podcasts? Like, what was your biggest ally in that learning journey?
Oh boy, there's a bunch. First of all, I think I mentioned that I'm in the International Society of Cannabis Pharmacists. They had like a program that was, you know, pharmacists have to do continuing education every year to keep their license, and they had a 16-hour program on cannabis and its use in a whole bunch of different diseases and stuff, and it's talked about stuff from everything from, you know, how to dose the dose stuff, you know, drug interactions, ways it can be used, ways, reasons it may not should be used in some people. And so I got, they have like at the end of that program, they have a test that you can take to be certified. And so I studied for a little while and a couple months, and because I wanted to be really prepared and took the test, and I got what's called a clinical cannabinoid pharmacy certification out of International Society of Cannabis Pharmacists. And that's one of the places. I kind of got a baseline there. And, you know, I actually, even before that, you know, I don't know, I think a lot of the people that work in dispensaries and stuff probably have heard of some of the books written by Regina Nelson. And so,
yes, we're familiar. We have it at home.
Oh, yeah. And that was kind of really what started my interest. But, you know, a lot of I needed to go deeper than she did to make it applicable to my background.
Right, and so, you have to. And for anyone listening, it's called A Survivor's Guide to Medical Cannabis by Dr. Regina Nelson. It's a really great tool.
And there's a lot of the physicians that are in Society of Cannabis Clinicians have actually written books. One that I really like and that has been very helpful to me is there's a book by Dr. Bonnie Goldstein. It's called Cannabis and Medicine. It says how medical cannabis and CBD are healing everything from anxiety to chronic pain. And in fact, I just went to something this morning that she talked about on the internet about autism, and she's the practicing physician in California who's dealt with like autistic and epileptic younger patients for years. I mean, I think she's been doing it since 2008.
That's so amazing.
That's a really good book that I like from her. And there's several others that are really good. Well, there's some pharmacists that are in the field that are really good too. And Colleen Higgins has a book out called and Michael Backus has one out called Cannabis Pharmacy. I like that one as well. It's got a lot of good information.
That's really cool that you've dove into a bunch of these different books. Like, yeah. That's always exciting, and you get to learn so much.
And we love hearing about books because we're always trying to expand our mind and learn. So that's why I was really interested in finding out where you got your knowledge, yeah. Because, you know, it's can sometimes be overwhelming, and sometimes the overwhelming can make it very difficult to dive a little bit deeper.
Right. And I like what you guys said too about, you know, just looking at stuff on the internet. It's hard to determine, you know, what is good quality information and,
yes.
and what is, you know, just totally not. So,
right. Yeah.
That's why I tend to look for people who kind of have experience in the field and actually treated several patients for some of them 10 to 15 years. So,
yeah, so with that being said, we know there's a lot of people out there who have transitioned from pills to cannabis as more of a holistic healing option. What's your outlook on that, and how do you hope, like, what do you hope to do for people or, you know, your patients with the position that you're in?
Well, several different things, honestly. One of the things that that we talk about in pharmacy a lot is what's called polypharmacy. And the definition of polypharmacy is like a patient being on, you get to a point when you're at about five meds where after that, you're a lot of times just really adding on other medications to cover, you know, side effects of previous medications and stuff. And it eventually just kind of comes a snowball, and your patient's on, you know, 8 or 10 medications. And, you know, I saw that when I worked in the hospital pharmacy for so many years. I see some of these huge medication lists. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, how do people even afford all of this?
Right.
You know, also when you get into that many medications, you know, not just to mention the financial burden, but you know, you're just creating more drug interactions and more a lot of times more problems than you're curing. And I think for myself, I had to learn when I've started kind of getting into cannabis and learning how to take back my health, you know, and eliminate those medications one at a time. You know, obviously I can't tell a patient, you know, don't take what your doctor has prescribed you, but I can talk to them if they want to try and pursue something, you know, more natural, like say before they go on opioids or something like that, you know, if they have chronic pain. Or I've worked with some people who have chronic pain, and, you know, to try and help, you know, reduce the amount of opioids they take, because, you know, that's one of the things that cannabis can do, is it can cut your opioid consumption by, and many people, you know, up to 50%, sometimes a little bit more. Sometimes people are able to get totally off them as well. And, you know, opioids are so much more dangerous because they have, you know, affect your cardio, respiratory centers. You know, that's why, you know, people overdose on stuff, mm-hmm. on and stuff. It's because, you know, their breathing shuts down or their heart shuts down. You know, the fortunate thing with cannabis is, you know, there's not a lot of CB1 receptors in your brainstem where that process is controlled. So it's really impossible to overdose on cannabis that way.
That is good. So in addition to that, like, how do you navigate with a patient, someone who is prescribed meds and they're wanting to use cannabis too? Like, how do you, I know that's a very popular question, you know, our parents, our grandparents, people have, it's like, yeah, I'm curious about cannabis, but like, what about all these medications I'm already on? Like, what's the starting point for that?
Cause I know when I tried to have that conversation with my parents, and that's a great question, Brian, because my mom would always be like, oh, well, I don't know how it's going to react with this medicine. And
it would
this,
just be turned off instantly.
Yeah, and would already make excuses before the conversation even happened, or didn't want to make the effort to do the research because she had so much other things to do that it just, what her doctor prescribed was just easier. So how do you, yeah.
And most people trust their doctor, so I respect that, yeah. But like, you know what I mean, from your standpoint.
You know, that's kind of a little bit of a sticky situation, but because, you know, like I said, I can't tell them to not take what their doctors have told them to prescribe, but right. Or, you know, prescribe for. What I can do is I can give them, you know, like some of the biggest things that people substitute meds for or cannabis for, or stuff maybe that you wouldn't need to take on a daily basis, what we would call PRN or as needed medications, you know, like muscle relaxers or say like benzodiazepines, you know, like Valium or something like that, for anxiety and stuff. You know, I can tell them, try the cannabis and see how that works for you. And then if, you know, if that starts doing the trick, then let's talk to your physician and see what, you know, about if you want to slowly come off the benzodiazepine. You know, I can't tell them, that would be dangerous to tell them to abruptly stop taking that.
Absolutely. Yeah, that could do more harm than good.
Right. So I'm all in it to make sure that what we're doing is allowing the person to live a better quality of life.
And yes.
That's, you know, and a lot of times that includes cannabis. You know, there's been, can't include, you know, everyone can't benefit from it necessarily, but, you know, for those that really want to and want to kind of take back control of their health in a more natural way, those are kind of the people that I look forward or, you know, kind of to talking with and working with, because it's very rewarding seeing somebody who has come in and, you know, maybe has been in pain management or something for quite a number of years, and that, you know, because a lot of times chronic, you know, problems take a toll on your mental health as well. And
yes.
Just kind of seeing somebody perk back up, you know, once they start turning the corner, is really an awesome feeling for me, and you know, being able to help in that space.
Right, to be able to see that light in their eyes, you kind of know they're in a good direction.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's very rewarding.
So, Eric, you're the founder of Illume Cannabis Wellness. Can you tell us what that is and what you guys offer?
Oh, sure. I can. What I do is I offer, cannabis education, and we kind of patient will come to me with, goals of things they want to improve on in their, a lot of things. And it can, be anything from, anxiety or pain control or weight loss or whatever. And we kind of just establish a plan together on working through that kind of one step at a time. Because a lot of times when people come to me, they're kind of tired of trying, just another pill. You know what I'm saying? They're kind of tired of going back and just having another pill thrown at it. So I try to work on with people, try and go through and improve things, one thing at a time. And when people start seeing improvements in, how they're feeling and, that some of the changes in mindset that you can get from using cannabis over, say, an opioid or something like that is totally, it's very empowering. And I don't know about for you guys, but I personally find cannabis to be very helpful for introspection and dealing with situations in a different type of manner. You know, seeing things that maybe I don't see, and it just helps me do that. And I try to do that with other people too, and to, just kind of start, checking health goals off the list. And, it's amazing how much that holistic approach, just kind of works for people. And, like we were just talking about, you see that light come on again, and you're making some progress. And, another thing is super important to me is, medication safety. On my website, illumecannabiswellness.com, I also sell some safety products that you can put either your pharmaceuticals or your edibles or flower in that can be locked, or one of them has like a lock that you can put your own type lock on, and the other one has like a combination lock that you can set your own number in, and just kind of for safety and stuff. Because I have some friends from pharmacy school. There's probably three or four that I can think of that actually work at the Poison Control Center in in Oklahoma City, and a lot of the adults is if we overdose or not overdose, if we take too many edibles and green out or something like that, that can be totally different than say a child or a pet getting into your edibles and getting totally bombed. You're not going to overdose as an adult, but it can be quite unpleasant as an adult, but you're not going to die. But your kids aren't going to either, but some of the reactions they have are a lot more severe than adults. So right. I just recommend that people are going to do that, just treat it like any other prescription and kind of keep it up and locked out of the way of kids, because especially if you're like me and you like the chocolate ones, well, kids like chocolate too. You don't want your kids to eat your edifying bar.
Yes. Yeah. So here's a question about how long and I know case to case is very different and patient to patient is different, but about how long do people work with you to kind of, get through their ailments from this, starting process to kind of, how does that process work in regards to when they start and when they end?
Okay. That's kind of yet to be determined. I actually just started, this business in earnest the first of the year. So I think I'm on the fourth patient right now, and one of them is done, and one of them I just picked up last week. It kind of depends upon how many things they've got going wrong with them, but the initial consult I do with them is the most expensive, because I've got to do lots of research on drug interactions and diseases and stuff like that. And then I don't want to just leave somebody, hanging after one visit with me. I want them to come back. So I offer the first follow-up I see with them is free, because I kind of want to see where they're at and want to, it wouldn't be good just to leave them out there hanging by themselves.
No.
So we work on testing their doses and stuff if need be. And I kind of give them some education and some general dosing information as far as, not what not to go over and stuff, without, talking further and stuff. So, some patients can be helped in, if they don't have very many problems, a couple of visits, some are going to require, several, but, I'm in it to help people, that's what I really got into it for. And that was something, another reason I kind of got into this space was, the background of pharmacy was getting further and further into it being a financial deal. There's nothing wrong with making money and stuff, but I got into it to deal with patients, not to, worry about all these different metrics and stuff that, different corporations want you to meet. So I work with somebody until either they can't get any more out of it, or we're to the point that they're better. So it's just however long it takes. But like I said, if it's a sleep issue or anxiety issue, maybe that's probably going to be less business than somebody who has chronic back problems with two or three levels of diffusion and stuff like that
in their back. So with that being said, we saw your website, and we love how informational and easy it was to break it down. And when we were browsing specific conditions that you help, we saw a lot that intrigued us, such as like obesity, like high blood pressure, cholesterol to be specific. And we often find when people think cannabis, I feel like sometimes they just think, munchies, or they're going to go binge and do that type of, behavior. How can someone get treated for those types of specific conditions? Because if this was more available for people to use cannabis for those things, I feel like it could really change people's lives.
You said about the obesity, I'm sorry, you broke up for part of that.
No, that's okay. I was just saying, we saw a lot that intrigued us, kind of like obesity, high blood pressure, and cholesterol to be specific. And I kind of went on to the munchie part. We feel a lot of people think that when they think cannabis, they might think munchies or going off into a binge type thing. And that's just not it always. And, you know, all these conditions can be treated with cannabis.
So how can one get help for those type of specific things to help break the stigma? Like, how would you educate our listeners on what that process looks like to help with obesity or high blood pressure? Because like Brandon said, when people think of cannabis, they think of binge eating, which causes all of these issues, but really cannabis can help prevent these issues.
Right. And it kind of depends upon the person, but as far as obesity, you know, a lot of times that is one of the things that comes from people being, I'm not going to say everybody, but I know for a lot of people, if you're like depressed and you're maybe you have like chronic pain or anxiety and stuff, you tend to just some people just kind of tend to come home maybe from work and be exhausted and, you know, just kind of sit around. You know, if you have like, if you use cannabis, you know, a lot of times, at least for myself, that I feel like getting out in nature more and moving more, and, you know, because I'm not, the chronic pain doesn't bother me as much. And
yeah, you're enjoying, you know, enjoying to all of those types of things you're noticing with your pain that's going away.
Right. And so as far as, you know, the obesity part, you know, cannabis will give me the munchies and sometimes it doesn't. But I always try to make sure that, you know, people are, you know, if you're eating something, that are you eating it because you're hungry, or are you eating it because what's your motive behind the eating? Are you really hungry? Also, what are you taking in? You know,
right.
It's good to have the munchies to, you know, maybe you like something crunchy, you know, so I recommend, you know, that people have like, you know, carrot sticks or celery or, you know, apple, something, you know, that's good for them, that
just they'll get their fix.
That's an interesting way to think about it, because I feel like when I think of munchies, I don't think of like, oh, I like crunchy things. Like
that's like the addictive thing. That's like,
yeah. So that's a good way to think about it. Even in like the, what type of snacks, like if I liked soft things or like sweet things, you know, I like that you said it like that, because oftentimes I don't think of it like that. I'm just like, oh, chips.
Right. And, you know, then as far as, it kind of depends on, you know, sometimes, you know, I may have to help them with referral to an outside source, or the physician may have to help them with referral to an outside source because of, you know, the cholesterol, you know, that you had mentioned. You know, a lot of times, you know, that's partly due to diet, but, you know, sometimes, you know, a lot of cholesterol issues and stuff run in families too, and there's not a whole lot you can do for that besides, you know, try diet first and then medication second. So I usually recommend, I have several dietitian friends who I recommend that, you know, that they either get a clinical dietitian consult, or their physician, you know, send them to a clinical dietitian to, you know, kind of figure out ways to kind of balance what they eat,
right,
and, you know, help their cholesterol management, you know, to the best they can without using another drug. Because that's, you know, that's one thing I've learned as a pharmacist over the years, you know, is more does not always equal better. So
that's true.
I try to tell people to use, you know, the least, you know, try to do it without medications first,
yeah,
and, you know, need medication second, we'll go there. But, you know, I would rather them try lifestyle changes too. And, you know, I've got to try, you know, work on some of that myself. You know, I've changed a lot of my practices and stuff, but I think one of the things that I'm kind of trying to do a little bit more in this year is more exercise. You know, I heard that Brandon, I think you said you really like exercise. Sabit doesn't care for it.
Yes, I'm a new exercise lover. Yes.
Yeah. It's really important. And I learned this from one of the physicians in Society of Cannabis, simulations to kind of find something and exercise that you enjoy, because that also will help boost your, what we talked about a little bit earlier, your endocannabinoid tone, and kind of, you know, help your body to make more of its own natural, you know, endocannabinoids like anandamide, 2-AG, stuff like that. So you just kind of get a, you know, a better baseline feeling. So it's got to be something you enjoy. If it's something you dread, it's probably not going to work for you.
That's true.
That is true. So do you take patients around the U.S., like in maybe in like legal states, or is it just Oklahoma for now?
Most of the patients I've had are from Oklahoma. There's been one from Canada, actually. And, you know, cannabis is legal there. But, you know, in order for me to talk to them about cannabis, using it as a medicine, I feel like, you know, one of the things that we, you know, look for in the pharmaceutical world is, you know, if you take something, that you're going to be able to have reproducible results if you were to take that again, you know, same type of effect and stuff. And if you're getting that from a state that, you know, it's not legal in, you may not know what you're getting, or, you know, you may not know how much THC or what herb.
Right.
Or
and it's hard to recommend certain things. Whenever,
yeah, I guess that's true.
Local, I feel,
yeah,
like.
I guess that's true.
Right. You know, because, you know, I listened to your guys' episodes on terpenes and stuff too. And, you know, that's another thing that's so different in the cannabis world than the pharmacy world. You know, in pharmacy world, things have, you know, like standard drug names, you know, like, you know, so we were talking about cholesterol medicines, you know, a lot of those in the, you know, suffix statin, you know, so you know that those are all going to be cholesterol medicines. Well, you've got some really strange strain names out there.
Yes.
So I think it's, for me, it's super important to be able to have a reliable COA that I can see, you know, what cannabinoids and what terpenes and stuff are in there, so you can predict what kind of results you're going to have.
Yes, that's very important to know what works for you, know your terpenes, and kind of go from there.
Yeah, absolutely. Do self-education is important also.
I agree.
So, Eric, where do you hope to see Illume grow?
Wow.
What a question.
I would like to see it grow, you know, where I could help more people, you know.
Yeah.
That's the hardest thing, you know, is getting the word out.
Right.
And, you know, because we can't advertise in some of the traditional places that other people advertise and stuff. But, you know, I just try to get the word out, and, you know, I'll, you know, through my website, or, you know, I'll post stuff on LinkedIn or Instagram or whatever. But I kind of would like to see cannabis seen more as a more mainstream and not as something that, you know, attached with a stigma. You know, I think it would, another thing I'd like to see, you know, is cannabis being employed earlier. Let's stop, you know, giving patients, you know, 10 milligram Percocets in the hospital, and maybe give them 5 milligram Percocets, 5 milligrams THC.
Right.
You know, because, you know, there's so much, and I've written all of our legislators and stuff about in Oklahoma, and I don't know if you guys have had any dealings with them or anything, but they're all pretty, most of them are really pretty set on cannabis being a gateway drug. And I'm trying to kind of promote that it can be so much more than that. It can actually be an exit drug, you know, from more dangerous stuff. You know, like, we had 100,000 plus overdose deaths last year. That's just insane. I mean,
it's crazy. It's sad.
Yeah. Obviously, I'd like to help more people get the word out. And, you know, kind of make take cannabis more mainstream and more get more people, you know, with like backgrounds to me to see that, you know, it can be very beneficial and it's not really something to be feared. I mean, I think a lot of people have that mindset that are in my space. But, you know, if you just look at it from, you know, how less toxic cannabis is than several of the other drugs that are FDA approved.
I right. mean, it's kind of messes with your mind whenever you break it down. It's kind of, you know, the facts, you know, just want people to be open-minded with it and try something. It's like, why would you not try something that could make you feel better? But it's just kind of one of those things. Some people have a hard time breaking that stigma and that gateway drug term, you know, because that's what they've tradition has taught them, really.
Yeah, and to be honest, I mean, that's one of the reasons that, you know, I didn't ever try it until I was, you know, 52 years old. It's because, you know, of what my parents had always said about it, you know, like, you know, the reefer madness type mentality. And it's really have to be that way.
Well, I'm so glad that you've been enlightened to all of this, because you have a good perspective and like your journey with it, and especially being in the pharmaceutical world is a whole nother spin to it. So it's just cool, like, hearing about people stepping out in their own truth and like trying to help people and like really make a way for something better.
Especially so much like later in life, and that you were so open to trying something that's always been told to you as a no, no, no. And now this one thing that you opened yourself to has changed your life. I mean, really, and your livelihood, which is really beautiful.
Yeah, it kind of is. And, you know, I think a lot of people have had similar experiences with, you know, when we have gone through the pandemic and, you know, kind of questions about, you know, what are we really here for?
Right.
You know, and what our purpose is and stuff. And I don't feel like I was meeting my purpose. You know, I was bringing home a paycheck and stuff, but, you know, I contributed, but I don't feel like I contributed to the fullest that I could. And now I feel like I can a lot more. And, you know, I think, and I'm probably going to get some grief over it, but I think it helps about being open with your journey, you know, as far as, you know, from other peers and stuff, you know.
Yeah. I mean, those are testimonies. Those are personal testimonies, and testimonies inspire people. It doesn't matter where they're given at, what they're about. Yeah. It's someone's journey and something that someone has experienced that changed their life for the better, you know? And like, that's what you have to do, is sit here and talk here like we are now. That's sharing your journey and, you know, how it's been great for your life.
Yeah. I feel like I can be more myself and more authentic. And I'm, you know, like I was saying, you know, when I was all of those other meds and stuff, I really felt like I lost a huge part. And I think you would say, if you were to ask my family, they would say the same. But now my kids and my wife both noticed huge improvement.
That's amazing. Jinx.
I love that. Well, Dr. Bowen, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to educate us and just speak with us about cannabis and all the things that have to do with it and all the healing benefits. It's been so great to hear another perspective. So I just want to say thank you for being here.
Yeah, and thank you for what you do. I feel like what you've started is really going to help change a lot of people's lives, and it's a really big tool and asset that's needed in our community. Yes. So thank you for what you do.
Bridging that gap.
And I appreciate you guys for having me on, and also for, you know, doing what you do and, you know, having people, you know, different people in different spaces come on and, you know, tell you their story with this stuff. Yeah. Because I think it's by sharing our stories that we really kind of reach people.
We do. Yes, we connect 100%. We connect over stories, and that's the best part. Well, thank you. Go ahead.
I was going to say, all right, I appreciate you guys.
Yeah, thank you so much. We appreciate you.
And thank you to our listeners for tuning in to another episode. And as always, Saab,
stay medicated.